Well, today, church, I'd like for you to open the Word of God to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. Today, I want to speak to you about a message that I've titled, just simply, As Often As You Eat the Bread and Drink the Cup. As often as you eat the bread and drink the cup. Now, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 26, and we're going to learn some principles that we need to keep in mind as often as you eat the bread and you drink from the cup. Well, there are two ordinances the church has historically observed since that Thursday night in the life of Jesus. We looked at what happened to him on Saturday. He was anointed with perfume on that Saturday night. We looked how he was adored with praise on that Palm Sunday, that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We looked at how he has argued with the priest on Monday, how his arrest was planned on Tuesday, and there's a great secret and a great mystery that no one on this earth has any clue about Wednesday. The Bible doesn't tell us a single thing that Jesus did on Wednesday. Now, we know he did something, but the Bible doesn't tell us what he did on Wednesday. But on Thursday, his agenda for then and until he comes was promoted. And he gave us what we call the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Now, what is an ordinance? An ordinance is a physical act that demonstrates a spiritual truth. The two ordinances that he gave us was the ordinance of baptism. Now, back behind me, behind the piano, behind where the choir and praise team was standing, that's a baptistry, and that's filled with water. And when a person has realized that they have been dead in their sins and their trespasses have been against God, when they realize that they are a heartbeat away from a devil's hell, when they understand by God's grace that if they died in that condition, they'd spend a Christless eternity, but God, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the partnership of the church, the body of Christ, has helped that person realize that God loved them just the way they are. They don't have to change a thing about them in order to make him pleased. All they have to do is repent of not knowing who Jesus was and accept by faith what Jesus has done for them, then they are gloriously saved by grace through faith. The first step of obedience that a person is called upon by God to do after they've had that relationship with God established is to obey the ordinance of believer's baptism, the physical act that communicates a spiritual truth. What does it communicate? The physical act of stepping into that water identifies you with the death of Jesus. The physical act of being put under that water and being brought up identifies you with the resurrection of Jesus. The physical act of being placed under that water identifies you with the fact that you are being buried with Christ. The physical act of being raised up out of that water identifies you with the fact that you've been raised to walk in a new way of living. The physical act of putting you under that water identifies you with the fact that one day your physical life is going to end. One day your soul and your body is going to be separated from what is called death. And when you have died, they're going to do something with your body. But God says he's got plans for that body in the future. He's going to bring that body up out of the grave, call it back from the ocean, call it up from the worms, wherever he calls it from, and he is going to transform it and glorify it and make it a brand new eternal body. But you know, your body doesn't go into the ground. Your body doesn't go there. Your soul, your soul goes to be with Jesus, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Now that's the physical act of baptism. It identifies the fact that you are a child of God now. You've identified with the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. And through your physical act, it communicates those spiritual truths. But what about the Lord's Supper? What about when you eat the bread and you drink the cup? When you take that piece of bread and you take that cup of juice, that's a physical act that communicates spiritual truth about the body and the blood of Jesus. which was given for you. Tell your neighbor it was given for me. I want to tell you, if nobody else in all the world would have wanted a personal relationship with God but you, Jesus still would have did what he done. All right? Now, with that physical act communicating a spiritual truth, the Bible doesn't tell us how often you ought to do this. The Bible doesn't tell us that you ought to do it every day, you ought to do it every hour, you ought to do it every month, you ought to do it every quarter. It doesn't tell us that. It just says, as often as you eat the bread and as often as you drink the cup, there are certain principles that you need to make a part of it. All right? What are those principles? Let me give them to you real quickly here because God's got something dynamic he's going to do in this service. I just know it. Here's the first thing that has to be, as often as you eat the bread and as often as you drink the juice from the cup, the first thing that you have to make sure that you do is you have to make sure that it's a thankful service. You have to make sure that it's a thankful service, a thankful observation. You have to make sure that you're thankful. It says in chapter 11, verse 24, it says, when he had given what? When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my what? My body, which is for who? For you. Now, if you don't have 1,000 other things that you can be thankful for right now, you ought to start with this one right here. Every time that you eat this bread, you ought to be thankful that it represents the body which was given for you. Can somebody say amen? The Apostle Paul said the first thing that Jesus did was to give thanks. And if Jesus could be thankful for giving his body for you, then you ought to be thankful that he gave it for you. Amen? Are you thankful today? Are you thankful for the body of Jesus, which was given just for you? Oh, every time you eat the bread, every time you drink the juice, you ought to have something that you're going to be thankful for. Now, what I'd like for you to do right now is I'd like you to tell the person next to you something you're thankful for. All right, let's go ahead. This is not just a listening sermon. This is an applying sermon. Tell somebody something that you are thankful for. And if you can't find somebody to tell them, tell yourself, self, I'm thankful for this right here. I'm thankful. What are you thankful for? I'm thankful that God loves me. I'm thankful that God remembers I'm but from dust. I'm thankful that my sins are forgiven. I'm thankful that my past is in the rearview mirror and my future's in the front windshield. I'm thankful that God's for me and he's not against me. I'm thankful that it's going to come out all right. I'm thankful that tomorrow's going to be a better day than today. I'm thankful that when this life is over, that it's not over for me. It's just beginning for me. Amen? Oh, as often as you drink the juice, as often as you eat the bread, you ought to be thankful for it. So as often as we do it going forward, one thing we're going to do, we're going to be thankful, amen? Oh, let's be thankful today. I'm thankful that he's not in that tomb. Thankful that he's not in that grave. I want to tell you, even if I'd never been there before, and I've been there about 12, 13, 14 times, it's still empty. But even if I'd never been there, even if I'd never seen that tomb, I want to tell you it wouldn't matter because the Bible says he's not there anymore. He's risen. I'm thankful that Jesus died on the cross. I'm thankful that he offered his life a ransom for my sin. And I'm thankful that the Father said, I'll accept it. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So as often as we eat from the bread and as often as we drink from the cup, we ought to make it a thankful service. Are you thankful today? Number two, principle number two that I want you to enjoy as we go into taking this bread and drinking this juice, make sure not only it's a thankful service, but make sure it's a memorial service. Every time you eat the bread and every time you drink the juice, make sure it's a memorial service. Look at chapter 11, verse 24, and it says, do this in what? In remembrance of whom? Every time we get together in the house of God, it ought to be all about Jesus. And you know what the bread and the juice is? The bread and juice is a message to remind us to remember Jesus. It reminds us to remember Jesus. Now, how many of you would be honest like me and say there are times through the week when you forget Jesus? There are times in the week when you've gone through it and when I've gone through it that Jesus is the farthest thing from your mind. That's why you made some of the decisions you've made. That's why you got in some of the trouble you got in. That's why you had some of the problems you got, is because you didn't remember Jesus. When we have the juice and when we have the bread, it reminds us to remember Jesus. Oh, you're here today maybe out of obligation to a mother. You're here today maybe out of an obligation to a grandmother. You're here today because it's a thing you always do on Sunday. But whatever it is that brought you here today is to remind you to remember Jesus. In just a few moments, we're going to remember Him in a physical way. We're going to let you take some bread in your hand and some juice in a cup, and we're going to let you remind yourself to remember Jesus. As often as you eat the bread, as often as you drink from the cup, we ought to make it a thankful service. We ought to make it a memorial service. Oh, but I like this one. Number three, we need to make sure it's a testimonial service. We need to make sure that it's a testimonial service today. He says, for as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you what? Proclaim. Now, I want you to look at your outline or look at the PowerPoint screen, and there is one word that is in all capital letters. What is that word that's in all capital letters? You. Tell your neighbor, you. You proclaim. You testify. You preach. You acknowledge. You proclaim the Lord's death. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Whenever we partake of the bread, whenever we partake of the juice, we give a testimony, if you please, about our personal life. If you eat the bread, if you drink the juice, you're giving the testimony of being a child of God. That's what you do when you take the bread, and that's what you do when you take the cup. You're saying, I'm a child of God. This body was for me. This blood was for me. I have been saved by grace, and I'm testifying today by holding the bread and holding the cup that I've been saved by His death and resurrection. So that's what you do. You're going to testify today. Now, if you've never been saved by grace through repentance and faith, I'm going to give you a chance to do that in a few minutes. So don't get all squirmy on me. Don't get all guilt on me, right here. I'm not doing this to make you feel awkward. I'm not doing this to highlight or accentuate something. It may be that that's the very reason God woke you up this morning. That may be the very reason that God put you here in a seat today, is because He's been chasing you all of your life. And this is the first time that circumstances and your will has weakened too much to where He's catching up with you. And today, everything's going to change about you. And today, that testimony you've been working on, today, God's going to bring some completion to it. As often as you eat the bread and as often as you drink the cup, you testify that you've been saved. Now, in just a few minutes, like I said, I'm going to give you a chance to do that. But what you're also testifying to for those who are already saved. You see, those of us who take the bread and those of us who drink the cup, we're testifying that we've been saved by grace through faith. But if you give that testimony today, here's something else you testify to. You're testifying to the fact that as far as you know, there's no unconfessed sin in your life. Now, if God brings some sin to your mind, then it's not just to make you feel bad. It's so that you can get right. God wants you to be clean. God wants you to be filled with Him. And so when you take the bread and you take the cup, you're testifying that I don't know of any sin that I have not confessed. God, you've not brought any sin to my mind that I have not confessed. And I know what somebody might be thinking. They say, well, how do I know if God's voice is speaking to me? What's God's voice sound like? Let me give you a couple of rules of thumbs that have proven to be true for me. The longer that I've been married, over 38 years now, the longer I've been married, the more the voice of the Holy Spirit sounds a lot like my wife. So here's how you can apply that. If you're married and your wife is here, ask them if there's any unconfessed sin in your life. Or what was the last thing they told you in the parking lot before you came up here on the drive here? Have you dealt with that yet, all right? Take that bread and take that cup and testify that I've confessed to that sin that my wife told me about on the way here. Here's another one. If you're a mama or you're a daddy, grandmama or granddaddy, ask those children or grandchildren if there's any sin in your life. Yeah, one of the things that I do when sometimes parents bring their children or the grandparents bring their grandchildren and either their children or grandchildren are thinking about being saved or have been saved. I'll always ask them this is to make sure they understand what sin is. I ask them to tell me what some sin is that they know about. And they'll list this sin or that sin. And then if they hadn't really got personal with it or specific, and I'll ask them, is fighting with your brother a sin? Well, yeah. Is disobeying your mother, your father, your grandmother, your grandfather, is that a sin? Well, yeah. And then I'll say, do you know what the Bible says? It says all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I said, I'm going to ask you to do something right now that you might not have the permission to do it another day from this place, but you got it here. They said, what? Ask your mother if she sinned. Ask your father if he sinned. Ask your grandmother, your aunt, have they sinned? And then ask your pastor if he sinned. You see, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we say that we have not sinned, then we do not tell the truth. We're a liar. Why does he give us this ordinance? It's because he wants you to have the testimony, not only of having been saved by grace through faith, of being cleansed by grace through faith. You know, when you don't observe the Lord's Supper frequently enough, you don't remember to remind yourself about Jesus. And when you don't remember to remind yourself about Jesus, the more likely it is you're to sin and break fellowship with Jesus. But God's given us this ordinance, this physical act communicating spiritual truth to help us to make sure that our testimony is what it ought to be. Now you say, well, what if, now that you've been talking and you put it in those kind of terms, I remember some sin that I haven't confessed. Now, you see, it's not just saying you're sorry. It's also being willing to turn away from that sin. What if you say there's something like that and I haven't dealt with it yet? Well, we're going to give you a chance. Sometime between now and when you take that bread and you drink that juice, if you confess your sin, God's given you a promise. He's faithful and he's just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all of that unrighteousness. And here's what he says. We talked about it at the start of this service. He'll never use that sin against you again. All right? It's a testimony. Make sure it's a testimonial service. All right? And number four, when you eat the bread and you drink the cup, make sure it's a thanksgiving service. Make sure it's a memorial service. Make sure it's a testimonial service. But here's the good part. Make sure it's an evangelistic service. Make sure it's an evangelistic service. Look at what it says. As often as you eat the bread, as often as you drink from the cup, he says, you proclaim, you testify the Lord's what? The Lord's death. Now, I spoke about this briefly a few moments ago, but I want you to notice the scriptural basis for the Lord's Supper, communion being an evangelistic service. The Lord's Supper should be one of the most evangelistic services the local church ever observes or participates in. Why? Because ever how many people are in here that takes the bread and takes the cup and brings it together, you proclaim the Lord's death. You proclaim that Jesus is God. He died on the cross for our sin, the just for the unjust, that His righteousness could become our righteousness and our unrighteousness could become His. And your children and your neighbor and the people next to you, they see that bread and they see that cup and they see the physical act of you eating it and drinking it, and the Spirit of God applies the spiritual truth to it and said, this represents the Lord's body and this represents the Lord's blood which was given for you. I've seen so many people fall under conviction just by watching the Lord's Supper. I've seen so many people come to realize that they don't have a personal relationship with God. They've had religion, but they've never had Christianity. They've had rituals, but they've never had a relationship. They may have been sincere at a time in their life, but they were never saved. And in watching the body and the juice be distributed, they come to realize this body and this blood was given just for them. Now, Jesus didn't just die of physical death. Jesus shed His sinless blood. It was an offering that He was making to atone, to forgive, to remove your sin and mine. So if you agree with God that you're a sinner, if the Holy Spirit has helped you to understand that you don't have a relationship with God, there's an emptiness inside of you that drugs cannot fill, that emptiness. That lawlessness cannot fill, that emptiness. You've got a rebellion to your spirit that nobody can help. And you can't remove your anger. You can't remove your lack of purpose from that. I want to tell you what's missing is God. And we're not asking you to become religious today. We're asking you to kick religion goodbye. We're asking you to get real. We're asking for God who created everything that there is to be allowed to come inside of your life. And God will come and live inside of you. And He will fill that void. He will fill that emptiness. He will fill that anger. He will fill that void. That's what we're talking about. And it makes all the difference in the world. And so that ought to be an evangelistic service. And so at that time, it's that time right now that I believe the Holy Spirit has done His work. I believe that all of your life, God's been pursuing you. I believe that all of your life, God's been chasing you. And you've been running from Him because you didn't know who He was. You didn't know what He wanted. You didn't know what it was like. The devil tried to confuse you by making you religious, by joining a church, or even being baptized. And so you've wondered if it's real, if there's anything to it or not. But what's wrong is that God doesn't live inside of you. God's not real. And today, though, if you'll acknowledge to Him that you're a sinner, if you'll acknowledge to Him that if you died tonight, you'd spend eternity away from Him. But if you'll acknowledge to Him and to yourself today that He's not asking you to change anything today to make you acceptable to Him, He's asking you to believe some things today that'll make you acceptable to Him. If you will believe that Jesus is God, if you believe that Jesus is God, and if you believe that He died on the cross for your sins, and He rose from the dead to purchase those sins, forgive those sins, to remove those sins, then by grace, through faith, you will be saved. It begins with you realizing that you've blown it. And I don't think there's anybody within the sight of my face or the sound of my voice that does not understand you haven't blown it. I don't believe there's anybody that's listening to this that doesn't realize how poor your decisions have been. I believe everybody understands that. It's what the Bible calls being a sinner. Sinners make sinful choices. But grace lets you make the righteous choice that makes a difference. Grace will let you choose to be forgiven. And grace will let you let God love you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever will believe in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. So here's what I want us to do right now. I want everybody in the house, I want everybody to pray this prayer out loud. Now, you understand, praying a prayer doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. Praying a prayer is just the words we use to let Jesus save us. You might never remember the words that you prayed after this, but if you let Jesus save you, even if you were to have denied Him, He could not deny Himself. So I'd like everybody to pray this prayer out loud. Now, those of you who've already been saved by grace through faith, you're just being an encourager right now. You're just being an exhorter for those that are around you, that God has brought them to this date with destiny today. And I want everybody to say this prayer out loud to God. You're not saying it to me. You're not saying it to the church. You're not saying it to anybody else. We're just all saying it together. Just say, God, I am a sinner. I do not have a personal relationship with You. I believe that Jesus is God. And He died on the cross to pay for my sin. I turn from my sin. And I turn to Jesus. From this moment forward, I put Jesus first in my life. Thank You for saving my soul. Let's give God a hand of thanksgiving for those souls that He just saved. Yes, I believe there are some folks that just got saved right now. I believe in just a minute you're going to take this bread in your hand, and you're going to take this cup in your hand, and you're going to give a testimony. You're going to give a testimony that you've been saved by grace through faith. You're going to give a testimony that there's no unconfessed sin that you're aware of in your life. And you are going to commune with Holy God. You're going to fellowship with God. And by the physical act of eating the bread and drinking the juice, you are going to be one with Him in this holy act of obedience. Can somebody say amen? Amen. All right. When you eat the bread and when you drink the cup, make sure that it's a thanksgiving service, that it's a memorial service, that it's a testimonial service, and it's an evangelistic service. But number five, you're going to be thankful for PowerPoint right here, okay? Make sure it is an eschatological service. Say, I'm thankful already. I have no idea what that is, but I'm thankful for it. Now, here, you're going to get excited about this, all right? He says, as often as you eat the bread and as often as you drink from the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. Now look at this next word. What's that next word after death? Until. Tell your neighbor, until. Until He what? He comes again. Woo! Somebody say amen. He's coming back. He's coming back. Now this is something we're not going to do forever. This is a physical act with a spiritual meaning that we're going to not do forever. Because when our faith gives way to sight, we don't need that kind of physical reminder anymore. But Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. He said, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm not going to abandon you. I am going to come back after I prepare a place for you in heaven. Amen? Amen. Now, if it only took Him 6 days to make everything you've seen and everything you haven't seen, and as marvelous and as awesome and as credible that is, what do you think your place in heaven is going to be like? He's been working at it for over 2,000 years. Oh, my goodness. And one day, when that place has been as prepared as it can be, see, that's what the groom did before he went back to get the bride. He had to build a house that was acceptable to the Father's inspection. And when the house we'll pass the Father's inspection, He said, all right, son, now you can go get your bride and you can bring her home. You know, one day soon, the Father's going to look at that and say, son, you've done good. Now you go get that bride, the church, and bring her on home here now. Amen? But until then, we're going to eat the bread and we're going to drink from the cup until He comes. All right, here's the last one. Somebody's ready to eat and somebody's ready to drink. It needs to be a Thanksgiving service. It ought to be a memorial service. It ought to be a testimonial service. It ought to be an evangelistic service. It ought to be an eschatological service. And number six, make sure it's an examinational service. Make sure that it is an examinational service. Verse 28 says, but a man must, what? Examine himself. And in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and to drink of the cup. Because he who eats and drinks what? Judgment to himself. You see, the time comes for personal examination of every person within the sight of my face and within the sound of my voice. And you're examining yourself to see, are you saved? Are you sanctified? If not, please remember, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and He's just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't care what kind of dirt, filth, mud, rebellion you brought in here today. You can leave here as clean as anything has ever been cleaned in its life. And once you have been cleaned, here's what God says, what I have cleaned, don't you dare call unclean. Now that has to come from us who look at somebody else's life, and we don't have the right to call anybody else's life unclean when God's cleaned them. But where it really needs to start also is with you, with yourself. You know, some of you, your own worst enemies. God's cleansed you, but you still say, I'm unclean. God saved you, but you say, I'm still not clean. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. I'm not acceptable enough. Don't call God a liar. Let every man be called a liar, but God be true. God says, you're not unclean. God says, you are clean through the blood that I've applied to you.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.